Hey, everybody, welcome to Flaherty's on Films. My name is Michael Flaherty.
My name is Colleen Flaherty.
And what? Shit, this is the opening.
This isn't how we do it.
I'll try again. Hello, everybody. This week we're doing The Matrix. Hit the music.
Have you ever had a dream, Neo, that you were so sure was real? What if you were unable to wake from that dream? How would you know the difference between the dream world and the real world?
Hello, everybody. My name is Michael Flaherty.
And I'm Colleen Flaherty.
This week, we're talking about The Matrix. This is Flaherty's on Films, a podcast where we walk down the AFI 100 list, but not this time.
Oh, no. We're on the new AFI list, the correct AFI list.
Which stands for...
The American Film Institute.
No, I was trying to think of a new, clever...
American Flaherty Institute.
Oh, that's better than anything I can do. anyway, so people have recommended these movies to us. And this is the first one that we're doing,
and this
The
is
Matrix.
Extra special because we've recommended it.
Yeah, this is actually a recommendation by us.
Because we talked about it a million times. John Flaherty also recommended it, and our good friend Mitchell William Brown. So thank you, friends.
I want to say we kind of swayed it, though.
Oh, yeah.
What's this about, I wonder?
Why don't you, Michael, tell the folks at home by reading the VHS description.
Oh, yes.
Of the film The Matrix.
Yes, if you pick up the VHS special edition, you're going to see this in the back of the box. It's going to tell you exactly what this film is, and I'm about to read it for you. Perception, our day-in, day-out world, is real. Reality, that world is a hoax, an elaborate deception spun by all-powerful machines of artificial intelligence that control us. Whoa. Mind warp stunts, techno-slamming visuals, mega kick action. Keanu Reeves and Lawrence Fishburne lead the fight to free humankind in The Matrix, a see and see again cyber thriller written and directed by the Wachowski brothers. The story sears, the special effects stake out new movie making territory. The movie flat out rocks. Perception, The Matrix is stylish, savvy, the ultimate in cyberscapism.
Reality. Ditto.
Oh, that's a great.
That is so good.
That's just going to tell you everything you need to know.
Mega kick action. Techno slamming visuals.
I hope we have a techno slamming podcast.
I don't. That's a lot of pressure, man.
I feel like we should be listening to Sandstorm right now. Do you remember that?
I don't know Sandstorm.
I just feels like it's really going to accompany this.
Anyway, Michael, what'd you think of the film?
Okay, so we talk it up a lot, and I actually have not seen it in a while, so I really did not know what I would think about it. The movie is kind of corny, CG-ridden, takes itself too seriously, has goofy fashion choices. I could say a lot of bad things about it, but I ultimately really, really liked it a lot.
Michael, you took the words out of my mouth.
Which words specifically?
All of them.
Oh, okay.
Except that I actually thought it was going to be a little cornier.
Yeah.
It surprised me how much of a pretty good film it is. You know, easy to follow plot if you don't try to outsmart it, I guess.
Do you want some food for thought before we go to our first segment?
I would love some.
I feel like I've seen 40 Marvel movies, and every time I see them, I'm like, that's pretty good, you know. Fun, the special effects, like the characters, like the actors, there's some levity, but boo. This I feel like I should like at the same level as that, because it feels like a superhero movie, you know, feels like a big blockbuster, that kind of same vibe, but I like it a lot more than that, and I have reasons why. Well, I mean, I feel like I'll wait on that, but that's food for thought.
That is food for thought.
So listeners, if you want to hear about that, keep listening as we go into our first segment. Bam,
time for Sam. This is the part of the show where our dearest friend Sam comes on and tells them some really cool facts about the film The Matrix.
She's our cousin.
Sam, we're, take it away. Why do you have to?
So go
every
ahead.
Time.
So go ahead.
Every time. So the Wachowskis got their start in the comic book world writing for Marvel's Hellraiser and Nightbreed. Actually, the idea of The Matrix would start
Nightbreed?
Off.
Nightbreed? Sorry, that.
Nightbreed.
Whoa. What is? I wonder what that's about.
Oh, no. Did not research that. Sorry.
Dropped the ball.
Actually, the idea of The Matrix would start off as a comic book. But by the mid-1990s, they were itching to break into the film world. They approached Warner Brothers with a few ideas and were offered a contract for three films. Their first was the 1994 film Assassins. They really, though, wanted to direct their passion project, The Matrix. But no studio was about to let first-time directors get on to such a big project. So they first requested that they direct their second script, which would become the 1996 film Bound. And it was a decent success. So now they had the directing credit that they were allowed to direct the 1990 film The Matrix. 1999. Casting the main character of Neo was a bit difficult. The Wachowskis had Johnny Depp in mind. But
that would work, I think.
But the studio wanted Val Kilmer or Brad Pitt. They all turned it down, and they wouldn't be the last. Other actors offered the role would include Tom Cruise, Nicolas Cage, Leonardo DiCaprio, Ewan McGregor, and Will Smith.
Can I tell my cute Will Smith story?
Well, can I tell you my fun fact about it first?
Okay.
Fun fact is Will Smith turned it down so that he could star in the hit film Wild Wild West.
So they, I don't know what this interview was in, but they were doing an interview with Will Smith. He's like, yeah, I turned on The Matrix and people ask if I regret it. But the thing about Hollywood at the time is like, if I had been cast, there's no way Lawrence Fishburne would be cast because they don't have two black leading actors in one movie. So he's like, you're welcome, world, because that movie would not have worked without him as Morpheus.
Just going through the list of actors, I think Val Kilmer would have been the best choice.
Why?
Oh, Val Kilmer's great.
Late 90s,
yeah,
Val Kilmer?
Yeah, because you got to think about when Neo is in the glasses and the trench coat, like how stupid that is. As like any human wearing that attire is really dumb. But when Keanu Reeves is like, all right, I'll buy it and do it. And who else could do that?
Well, Val Kilmer from mid-80s, maybe, but late 90s, Val, I'm thinking, nah.
Okay, I guess I can't picture it.
But
go ahead,
Samantha. I'm sure, you know, he is very talented, so I'm sure he could pull it off.
He could pull it off.
So they finally found their Neo with Keanu Reeves. Reeves had just had spine surgery to fix two discs before training began. In footage of the intensive training, we'll get to that, you can see he's wearing a neck brace. And he was also unable to kick for 2 out of the 4 months because of this injury. So they had to rework a lot of his stunts. And Neo does not kick as much as the others in the battle scenes.
Mega kick is like the first line of the script, I'm sure. In the casting notes is like, be able to mega kick. And he could not do it.
He could not kick for 2 months. And then he was really like there. He has to do that triple kick at a point. And he like really struggled because he couldn't practice with it. And he couldn't also practice. So this film is the one that really started this in Hollywood. And it's called Wire Fu. Mm-hmm. And like Kung Fu, it's Wire Fu because they use wires to lift you up and flip you and stuff, which I thought was really cool.
And this movie started it.
Yeah, yeah. For those at home who are old enough, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon is probably the biggest example of that, right?
Right.
But this started it.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So this is what really brought it to American culture. And he couldn't rehearse with a lot of the wires because like, it was this very serious surgery he had on his neck. He was like,
he probably shouldn't have done this movie. Sounds like he really sacrificed his health, possibly.
Stop. Oh, I will not hear that.
I will get into it. But like one article I was reading was talking about how like he had to get surgery because it was actually causing paralysis on the lower part of his legs. So like it was very serious and it was neck spine surgery, which is like arguably one of the most fragile parts of your spine. Yeah. So... yeah, so he had it right before. So, like, they have these great videos I was watching of their rehearsals, and everyone's, like, really intense and really into it. And they're like, yeah, my body hurts. And then there's Keanu, and he has this huge neck brace on.
Poor guy.
Well, that's just his Matrix body. You know what I mean? This is simulated body. So who cares about that?
So, anyways, it wasn't just Neo that they had difficulty casting. Other actors approached to play Morpheus included Russell Crowe, Gary Oldman, Samuel L. Jackson, and Sean Connery. If you remember way back to our Lord of the Rings episode, Connery was offered the role of Gandalf, but refused because he didn't understand the script. This seems to be a theme with him, as he would use the same excuse to dismiss the role of Morpheus, though in my opinion, this movie makes more sense.
That does make a lot of sense, yeah. Actually.
The Wachowskis were huge fans of Hong Kong action films, and so they approached the legendary Hong Kong stunt coordinator, Wu Ping Yuen, to choreograph the action scenes. So he's like a very famous actor, stunt choreographer in Hong Kong. Although he loved the script, Yuen didn't want to make the film. Never really said why, just that he didn't want to. Liked the script, didn't want to do it. So he asked for an exorbitant fee to do it. The studio and the directors agreed. So then he was like, okay, well, I get complete control of all of the fight scenes. They're like, yeah, no problem. Sure, whatever you want. And he's like, okay, I need 4 months with the actors to train with me every day before shooting.
Oh my God.
And they were like, yeah, dude, no problem. Whatever you want. He's like, God damn it. Like, kind of a thing.
You will paralyze the lead, but that's fine. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, that's fine. As long as he gets those stunts down. So they agreed to all of his requests, and he would go on to become the highly paid stunt coordinator for this film. And so he brought a lot of that kind of Asian movie influence into this world, which was not really known, I guess, in American culture.
Right.
So that was kind of cool.
And now it's in everything.
Apparently, he was like, 4 months, perfect. I'll have this beautifully choreographed and, you know, stunted film. And then he saw how the actors were very unfit for it. And he was like, ah, damn. Well, we'll make it work. With 4 months to personally train the cast, that meant that almost all the stunts were performed by the actors and not stuntmen.
Really?
That was very important for the directors, too. They wanted this just to be the actors performing everything. That being said, it doesn't mean that the actors were safe still. Hugo Weaving ended up hurting his hip during the training and had to have surgery. All Damn. Of his action scenes had to be moved to the end of shooting to give him time to heal. Carrie Ann Moss would twist her ankle but would not tell anyone out of fear of losing her role. And just a quote from Keanu Reeves, Hugo had hip surgery, Carrie Ann hurt her ankle and hip, Lawrence got hit in the head, he got his eyelid sliced open. I couldn't walk a couple of times. I mean, I'm exaggerating a bit, but there were a couple of sequences where I had to carry all these guns. It was like 50 pounds of weapons, and waiting for the special effects sequence, the bullet hits, etc. There was one time where we stood for like 3 hours.
Oh my gosh.
Jesus Christ.
So before the cast was allowed to even see the final script, the Wachowskis insisted they learn some philosophy. The lead actors had to read Simulacra and Simulation by Jean Paulhard, Out of Control by Kevin Kelly, and Introducing Evolutionary Psychology by Dylan Evans and Oscar Zarat. Apparently, that was Moss's least favorite. She's like, I can barely get through it. If you look carefully in the movie, you'll see that Neo hides his illegal computer files in the copy of Barat's book.
Mikey, didn't you have a fact about that?
Oh, that author, John Boulidrard, or whatever his name is, he hates this movie.
Oh, really? That's really funny.
Because his book was all about simulation, and it's like they always know whether they are not, or whether they are in a simulation, and that goes against this whole thing.
Apparently, and I just read this briefly, but like they wanted them all to read the books, and that was fine. They read the books, whatever. But Keanu, they were like determined that he knew about it. So they were like quizzing him until he understood and could explain all the different philosophies.
That's hilarious.
Jerks. He almost paralyzed himself and he has to take a dumb philosophy class. Jesus.
The Wachowskis had requested a budget from Warner Brothers of $80 million. Warner gave them $10 million. In a truly bold strategy, they spent the entire $10 million on the opening sequence with Trinity. When they went back to the studio and showed them what they had done, the studio executives were so impressed that they agreed to greenlight the original budget.
It is so insane that this movie got made. It is crazy to me. I don't know. I'm even watching it now, knowing how it influenced film. Like, who thought this was a good idea? Basically, first-time directors doing this hugely big budget thing and taking some pretty B-list, at least at the time, actors and training
Not
them,
famous.
Making them read these dumbass books. Golly.
So to save some money, because expensive, the entire film was shot in Australia. Actually, Sydney, Australia, to be specific. That being said, all the street names are real streets in Chicago, where the Wachowskis grew up.
I heard that it was the point of it was to make it look like a really generic city, like
it's
a city most
be any,
people wouldn't recognize.
Any city
I think
America.
The point was to save money. I don't know.
It was supposed to be any city America kind of a thing, but they did film it in Australia and actually got Australian barred because of tax reasons. It was just cheaper.
Would have been cheaper to do it in Toronto, I bet.
Would have been cheaper to do it at Patrick Grass, but
Good point, Michael.
So I don't know what my point was.
Let's talk about some cool filming techniques the movie did. First off, the film is color-coded. All the scenes inside the Matrix have a green tint, as if you're viewing them through a computer monitor. The scenes that take place in the real world have a blue tint, and the Morpheus and Neo training scenes are in neither real world nor the Matrix, so they have a yellow tint. Although this movie did an amazing job with CGI, they did also employ a lot of cool practical effects. For example, when Neo is noticing the simulation around him, you may have noticed as the audience that there are repeats of people. So you would see a person walk by and then a few seconds later you'd see them again. Now, this wasn't done post-production. It was actually accomplished by using identical twin actors.
Whoa! That is such a cool fact!
Another example of practical stunts is the lobby shootout scene. This is only a 3-minute scene, but it's arguably one of the most famous.
It's very cool.
It took
Did that lobby even have couches?
No, man.
Who hangs out in that lobby?
Nobody.
Well, you don't hang out in a lobby.
You just guard it.
I feel like a lobby needs like a water fountain, bathrooms. I don't even think that had other doors.
It's an office lobby.
I noticed that you didn't say couches in your list of things it should have.
That was the first thing I said.
You said water fountain.
Oh, well.
Go to the tape!
Did that lobby even have couches?
Anyway, Sam, go on.
So this 3-minute scene took 10 days to shoot, and there was barely any CGI in it. All the gunfire and explosions were real, and there were real marble pillars that they were just exploding that actually crashed on their own.
What about when Keanu does a cartwheel? Was that
so,
CGI?
All the action was real. The only CGI involved was removing the wires that helped the actors with their gravity-defying flippity-flops. Mm.
Did he need wires to do a cartwheel? Is that a gravity-defying to do a cartwheel?
Get the special cartwheel wires for that.
I was thinking of Carrie Ann Moss's cartwheel that she does. She actually did that in one take. Which was really good because they were blowing up real marble pillars, so they would have to put in a new pillar if they messed up a take.
Whoa.
Damn.
The final scene that was filmed was the scene where Neo wakes up and is in the real world. For that scene, Keanu Reeves lost 15 pounds and completely shaved his entire body.
Damn.
Jeez. Mm-hmm. He really believed in this project.
What a sweetheart.
Aww. He is the best.
All right. Everyone settle down.
I love him.
When it was released in 1999, the film would go on to be a box office hit and would become the highest grossing R-rated film of 1999. It was nominated for 4 Academy Awards that year and would go on to win. Well, that is your question of the week.
Ooh, okay.
Out of 4, how many?
Out of 4. Now, I will share this with you. To put the year in context, its competitors included Phantom Menace.
All right, I'm going to say 4.
I'll say 3.
It won all 4.
Woo!
I was going to say 4.
Aha, you got me faster.
It was nominated 4 and won.
Are you like 80 ahead of me?
I'm like 80 ahead of you.
Best film editing, best sound effects editing, and best visual effects.
I don't think Phantom Menace is going to win that.
I love to say, I was like, but wait.
Wait, hold on.
Phantom Menace.
That's a George Lucas production.
I actually made a Phantom Menace reference in our description. That'll come up later.
Oh, can't wait.
And my final fact for you guys today, although it didn't make the AFI Top 100 movies list.
Which it should have.
The AFI didn't completely forget about it. In 2001, The Matrix would come in at number 66 on the AFI's 100 thrills list.
It is a thrill. What about lines?
But don't you feel like it changed big blockbuster movies forever? Like, in a really significant way?
The two big things that it was known for was The Wire Foo, which I will repeat a million times over, because I think that's a great name. And then also the big camera movement it did. It was called the
Bullet shot? Time?
Yeah, Bullet Time. That's it. Thank you. The slow motion, but still the fast. Those two were the big technological
What about
advances.
When Keanu says, we need guns. Lots of guns.
And then he had to carry and hold them for 3 hours.
Michael, that voice you're doing is just
And then he goes,
perfect.
No, they're so heavy.
I just had surgery. Guys.
He's fine.
And that was
Bam.
Time for Sam.
Now we're going to go to our favorite segment, our second favorite segment, is Critics Corner, where we hear about what the critics have to say about this film.
Let's start with Peter Bradshaw of The Guardian. The Matrix still stands up as a fiercely exciting and discombobulating futurist drama, which pioneered breathtaking bullet time. Ah, that was before. Action sequences inspired by Asian martial arts.
Oh, well, that's a nice review. I hope this one is easily nice. This is by Eric Trauman, who, as we all know, is the famous Amazon reviewer. One of the characteristics of bad science fiction is the use of a fundamental premise that is unscientific. It is one thing to suspend physical laws and another to be ignorant of them. I refer to the fact that humans do not produce any kind of energy. We, like all organisms, consume energy in endothermic process. So, if one were connect a whole bunch of us together in a giant farm, one would get a net energy consumption and a whole bunch of fertilizer. I am the only person I personally know who hated this movie, but the other people I personally know who saw it are children.
Whoa.
That's a good point.
I've actually heard this thing before where it's a really dumb premise that they made people batteries. But I remember watching the film where they're like, humans produce a thermal energy of 100 bits a unit. And I'm like, yeah, sounds plausible.
Yeah, you buy it. Who cares?
Who cares?
That's not the point.
Extremely violent. Violent, extremely preposterous, extremely entertaining. The Matrix succeeds at two extremely difficult tasks: as a vast, vast, exciting virtual reality movie, and as a defibrillator for Keanu Reeves' big screen career, says Keith Simonton at the Seattle Times. A
defibrillator for Keanu Reeves? I don't even understand that phrasing.
I think it means it's bringing him back to life after a bit of a stalled career in the mid-90s.
Are they insulting Johnny Mnemonic?
They might be.
I've not seen the film, but I will not stand.
But you will not stand for criticism of Johnny Mnemonic.
Oh, I can't. I'm very upset. This is by Jerry, obviously the Amazon reviewer. The Matrix takes on a future world where mind experiences are induced by software, not the senses. The premise ought to have been fascinating, but this very Hollywood treatment is nothing but an old-fashioned shoot-'em-up with silly kung fu fights, hilarious logical inconsistencies, and a cinematic superhero who, true to formula, finds his magic powers just in time. Ho-hum. Skip this one unless you like assault rifles discharging ammo by the bushel.
I don't understand that review because I like all those things.
Yeah, Jerry, what the fuck, man?
The Matrix has become such a touchstone of American pop culture, referenced, copied, parodied, and parroted, that it's hard to remember just how new and different and distinctive it was when it debuted in 1999, which I think is a really good point, because this is why you and I kept harping on how dumb the AFI list was, that it would ignore a movie like this. This really changed everything. This was such a big fucking deal.
Shrek didn't reference it for no reason.
Good point, Michael.
What was the publication on that? It's just Sean Axmer was the reviewer.
He has his own website.
Oh, the Sean Axmer Post.
Axemaker.
There's probably a really good name to make with that. Axemaker.
Right. Axemaker.com.
I mean, like the Axemaker Tribune. I'm going to think of a pun or something later. All right, this is a long one. This is by...
I need you to give it your all.
All right, let's see what I can do. Is it a positive before I start reading it?
It might not be. All right. Put on your most sarcastic tone.
Okay. Man Invisible, an Amazon reviewer. Now let's take time out of praise the genius... Now let's take time out to praise the genius of the Matrix. Really, this movie must be a work of genius because the characters have cool names like Trinity, Neo, and Morpheus. Swooning. What is that?
Like, aww.
This movie must be the best movie ever made because when the people shoot guns, the bullets can go in slow motion and leave trails. Gasping. The movie must be more than meets the eye because it plays out like an expensive video game. Cool! I love these reactions. The movie has to be a treat for all those intellectuals out there who think the sub-Shakespearean monologue sandwich in between pointless FX scenes make for an intelligent film. Stimulated! And of course, keeping up with style, this movie must be great because the characters wear very chic black leather outfits. Please, people, if you need some to open up the neural floodgates, go with Fight Club. A movie that's true I like Fight Club.
I do like Fight Club.
A movie that's truly original and loaded with ideas. It doesn't hide behind the smoke and mirrors to pass itself off as an intelligent film.
That's so many things. So this is a fun segment that we're adding on for the new AFI. So Sam always liked to add the AFI quotes. So we wanted to put on the, or we wanted to mention what we thought were the best quotes from the film. And this is something we'll do for every film.
Oh, okay. I'm this is new to me.
Oh, did you not know? I thought this was your idea.
It sounds like a great idea.
This is your idea because these are all quotes you mentioned.
Oh, man. What a smart idea this is.
Never send a human to do a machine's job.
Yes, yes, yes. Oh, here's a classic. I know Kung Fu.
I know Kung Fu.
Michael, your Keanu Reeves is so good. It's like he's in the room with us.
He's in the room. Ooh, you're going to really need to bring it for this next quote.
Whoa.
Okay, that was a great segment, doing quotes. I mean, we didn't even say guns, lots of guns.
We didn't. I might, yeah.
I'll do it. We need guns. Lots of guns.
Can you just do that voice all the time? It's so good.
Just forever? That's my Honest Trailers voice.
Let's go to our next segment, where we talk about our favorite part, least favorite part.
Kaleem, what's your favorite part? Well, let's start with least favorite. I want to start negative.
Okay. My least favorite part is actually what you talked about. It's a little bit self-important, sometimes a little distractingly so. My other least favorite part is I feel like Carrie Ann Moss was a little underserved because I think she was really...
You always think that. Oh, the women don't get enough lines.
And I'm usually right.
Yeah, that's not the point. I'm just like, you're always saying it.
Yeah, that is true.
Oh.
Well, she's just... She's so boring and she's very emblematic of that 90s kick-ass feminist hero.
What's wrong with that?
Well, because she's like kicks ass, but she has no personality. She's just...
Oh, and Keanu does. Keanu's just brimming with personality.
He's confused sometimes.
Lawrence Fishburne is just so much personality.
I mean, sure. Fair. That's a really good point, actually. Wow. Well, now I've been put in my place, but she's really beautiful.
Yeah, I don't think the men get enough lines. Here's my least... I'm just joking. Just for having a goof here. Here's my least favorite part. I really... Because I actually like the plot of this movie, even if it is silly and dumb. But I kind of feel like it's all believable. Like, they established, okay, we're in a world that's all simulated by robots because they're harvesting us for power. Like,
sure.
Got it. There. I'm with you. And then they're like, okay, now we're going to go see the lady who can tell the future. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, you didn't explain that at all. What do you mean there's just a lady who can tell the future? What's that about?
Well, what about the one? Because the Oracle needed to exist for the one prophecy, right?
That's another thing about the one, which is like such a huge part of this movie. So why do I like it? But those things really bother me because the whole premise, I feel like it's actually like, even though it's outlandish and dumb, like you could tell me that it's your premise and I'll be there for it.
So I was in high school. No, I was in middle school when this movie came out. And I just remember like a lot of dudes who were like, you don't really get this movie.
Yeah.
And I'm just remembering that I get more annoyed by the philosophy of it. Well, of course, when I was in middle school, I was like a cooler. I'm like, I get it.
You don't know boys.
I read Nietzsche, okay? I get things.
I've never read Nietzsche.
Don't. Oh, okay. It's boring.
I won't do that. I'll continue watching Sex and the City.
What's your favorite part?
I don't know. I don't know if I like the show that much. I mean, they're just so like wealthy and like, do they know like about poor people in that show?
So when you watch The Sopranos, you're like, do they even get what the life is like for non-criminals?
But I get that's the point. I've seen so much of the show. I just thought it was about women talk about sex in New York. I didn't think it would all just be like, we're the wealthiest women in the world and we spend $1,000 on clothes. Here are our problems. I'm like,
so what's your favorite part about The Matrix?
I love the buildup of this film. Because here's what I was saying before, where like, I've seen 1,000 Marvel movies and they're like, that's pretty good. I just feel like this movie, it gets so silly and so dumb. When Keanu Reeves is doing a cartwheel in the lobby as it's all exploding, as he's shooting a million guns, and he looks so ridiculous in that outfit. I think it's great just because it earns it. You know what I mean? If it started out that way, it would have been such a dumb movie. It
totally starts out that way.
I think, and I honestly, sincerely believe this, if you would have clipped that part out and shown just that out of context to audiences at the time, like, here's our movie, they'd be like, what is this? Like, it's so tacky and garish and garbage. But the movie spends so long ramping up to that point.
Do you remember the first scene is the Carrie Ann Moss chase scene?
But that's a little better. I mean, that's a little more, it's at night. It's like, what's going on? It's sure. Mysterious. It's not so in your face. But I mean, you do bring up a very good point. But I just felt like the movie spends a lot of time not being that silly. Just being like, this all sucks. We're in the Matrix. Everything is real. Kind of being the pretentious, like, oh, what is reality? What is life? For like an hour. And then you're like, okay, I get it. But then it's just like, it's mega kick action.
I do really like the mega kick action.
I love the mega kick action. And I mean, I think that they brought in that action director. I mean, all the action is really, really good. I mean, even just the scene of Keanu Reeves and Lawrence Fishburne just fighting in the dojo.
So good.
I actually just really, you could clip that part
You don't
out.
Even need the techno slamming visuals.
Yeah, they're just like, the directing is really good and the action's so solid.
So good.
It's just like really enjoyable to watch.
So I have a weird favorite part is I think Hugo Weaving's performance is so good.
Why is that weird?
I don't know.
That's
because,
a fucking great
because
part.
Like, Lawrence Fishburne's performance is so good, but Hugo, so imagine you have to play a computer simulation of like a robot in a simulated reality and you're evil. I feel like there's so many easy ways to go with it. And Hugo, he just pulls out something totally different and it's so perfect and so good. It's just so unexpected and creepy and real and compelling and amazing every time he's on screen.
I'm gonna try to do an impression. It's gonna fail. Human beings are a virus.
Oh my god, that's so good.
You know what I hate about the Matrix? I hate the smell.
It's so just amazing.
Human beings are a disease, a cancer of this planet. You are a plague, and we are the cure.
Yeah. Can we talk a second before we get into what the movie's about?
What do you want to talk about?
So I do think one of the things, the philosophy, first of all, I gotta say, when I first saw this movie as a young person, I was like, blown the fuck away. Like, oh man, what if nothing is real? It is kind of a fun, but pretty easy concept.
Well, I wonder if it is. I mean, maybe if we had not, I mean, maybe you have to think about this for a little bit. For it to become an easy thing to think about.
Sure.
Do you know what I mean? So maybe if you've never seen The Matrix or if you've never had this sort of thought process, maybe this would, I mean, it's got to open your mind eventually at some point.
Right. Well, and then of course, some of this was of sort of the 90s angst of like, oh, what is it to be just a drone in the world? What is it just to be like a middle-class white guy who just, he's special, but nobody knows it. Like there's a lot of
genre. Yeah, he's the one.
Exactly. And even knowing that going into this film, that's a thing, I still wasn't that annoyed by it because I was just so into the movie. It's so gripping.
Here's the thing. It's a really good movie, but just how good is this movie that you don't hate it? Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I know exactly what you mean because it's so stupid, but it's amazing.
The pretentiousness is there. The aesthetic is there for you to just hate it, but I love
it. Those PVC coats. With those fucking sunglasses? Are you kidding? It is so aggressively...
It's aggressive.
Aggressively millennial or millennium Hot Topic. Like, you cannot get away from it. When they play that fucking song, oh my God.
But I love it. That's, I mean, it speaks to the quality of just the filmmaking.
I totally agree. Maybe I really like good action.
Yeah, it's possible. And you like build up? That's my point. Should we start?
I like build up, but I also like that it started out strong.
It did have a good. It did start out strong. Definitely.
Okay. Why don't you tell us? Here, I'll start with the intern summary of The Matrix. The Matrix opens with a shot of a computer screen, indicating that a phone call is being traced. As we overhear the voices on the phone line discussing whether they have found the one, and some guy goes, "You just like looking at him, don't you?"
I think also a big strength of it is that all the visuals are extremely unique. I mean, I think they're even unique right now, but I can't think of any other movie that looks like The Matrix. I mean, after this movie, I could think of a lot of movies where the aesthetics were inspired by The Matrix, But like, especially at the visual of the text scrolling down the screen, which is a very, very strong, iconic visual.
Is that not how computer programs work?
No, not at all. They're all not, they're all horizontal. That's not real. So like, but I can't think, it's so memorable.
Yes, agreed. Police enter the scene and we meet Trinity covered in leather and kicking ass.
Sorry, I'm so sorry to interrupt you. There's one more thing I fucking love about this movie. It's the music. Because if
the Prodigy, you're really into that?
No, not that. if they asked me, hey, Michael, score this movie about the computer simulated world, I would be like making Tron music. I would be Daft Punk making like, like chiptune synthesizer.
I also like that very much.
But I'll just play a little clip of it because I don't think you guys know what I'm talking about. But there's just like the opening theme where it's just like trombone. It's just like brass instruments and they play this one chord. It's like very normal orchestral movie music, but it is very much The Matrix. It's just a really, really good score that really puts you in the mood without even like referencing computers or something that would be way too on the nose and obvious.
But how good was the Tron soundtrack? But it's
obvious. This is better. This is much better than the Tron. And I like the Tron soundtrack a lot.
Anyway, so we're back with Trinity. Men in suits show up and a chase ensues. After a lot of neat tricks, Trinity gets into a phone booth. Guy in suit crashes into the phone booth with the truck as Trinity picks up the phone, and suddenly, she's nowhere to be found.
I feel like we need to rewatch The Phantom Menace so you can make other Phantom Menace references, because we only make the one. We only make neat trick references.
Well, sorry.
I
have also made sand jokes, but I guess that's from the second one.
That's from the second
God
one.
Goddamn.
So we want to say anything more about Carrie Ann Moss, because you said she didn't
she's
get enough.
She's so beautiful.
She's hot. Can I reveal this?
You may.
You said, hey guys, do you think Carrie Ann Moss is hot? And I was disgusted. Like, obviously she's super hot.
I don't know. She's very, you know, severe and angular, but I'm like, but I realized how silly I was being after watching it for a bit.
I can't believe you're not like dying of shame. Cut to Keanu Reeves asleep. Is that really pretentious? Like, oh, he's waking up filmmaking wise.
Why?
Do you know what I mean?
Like, oh,
our main character, he's asleep. He doesn't get what it's like.
I mean, yes. There's a lot of pretty... Oh, we're going to talk more about the metaphors in filmmaking.
I don't know why. I love the... Like, even as dumb as they are, I still love him. All right. Cut to you. Keanu Reeves asleep. He wakes up to messages about across his computer screen calling him Neo and telling him to follow the White Rabbit. Alice Wonderland. A knock at the door. Shady clients are there to pick up some illegal software or something or other. They invite him to a club.
Yeah, they never really say what he's doing that's illegal, but he's a hacker.
And at first, he says no, but the lady in the group has the White Rabbit tattoo. He better follow it.
Oh, no. They're at the club. Trinity approaches Neo. Neo doesn't know who she is, but Trinity explains that she knows all about him. She knows he's searching for something called the Matrix. And that he's suspicious of what it is. Yes, Samantha?
Sorry, just fun fact. That was a real BMS? No, BDSM.
Yeah.
Oh.
Is that it? Club in Australia. I don't remember the name of it, but all those people who were there as extras were just normal patrons of the club. And they didn't have to change their outfits. That's like, they came hilarious. Just dressed like they normally would.
That's very funny.
And it's still open. You can go. It's in Sydney.
Abruptly, the club scene gives way to a ringing alarm clock. Neo wakes up with a start, back in his own bed. He's late for work.
I feel like everyone's really cavalier about describing the situation. They're like, oh, you're looking for something. Why not? Like, you need to wake up because you're in the Matrix right now and you got to take the pill and you got to help us out. It's just very aloof. It's just very, oh, the world is something.
It's got to be secretive.
He gets to work, where we learn that his name is Mr. Anderson, and he's a computer programmer. A cell phone is delivered by FedEx to Neo's cubicle and rings immediately. On the line, a man identifies himself as Morpheus. How cool is that name? How cool is it? I should be Neo and you should be
Gasp.
Morpheus.
Gasp. So cool.
What is that?
Oh, that's what he was doing in that review.
Oh, yeah. Damn it. I lost
Swoons. I remember watching this with our mom, and she was very funny. She was like, what is even happening?
She was very humorous. Morpheus tells Neo that agents are there after him, and directing him by cell phone helps him navigate through the labyrinth of cubicles in his office and escapes the ledge outside the building. Neo doesn't have the courage to walk across the ledge to some nearby scaffolding, and agents capture him. Then take him for interrogation. Neo demands rights from Agent Smith, played by Hugo Weaving, who renders Neo mute by magically sealing over his mouth so that it nearly disappears. Agents hold Neo down and forcibly insert a metallic insect-like device into his stomach.
I couldn't use another adjective other than magically. I'm sorry.
It was very magical.
It was magical.
It was
digital. Neo jolts awake at his home. He does that a lot.
Jolting?
You know, being awake in scenes. Just waking up.
It's a metaphor.
Soon after, he receives a phone call from Morpheus, who explains his belief that Neo is the one.
See, that's not useful. Just say you're in a world of fake.
Morpheus and Neo arrange a meeting. Trinity, along with two other renegades named Switch and Apoc, pick Neo up. Trinity then removes the bloody, wriggling mechanical bug from Neo's stomach with a terrifying spike and tube instrument. And Neo is shocked to realize that the episode with Agent Smith actually happened. He goes, Jesus Christ, that thing is real!
I'd really like that. Okay. And then, is this real?
Mm-hmm.
And then we finally meet Morpheus. Morpheus explains what the Matrix is in a weirdly roundabout way.
That's my favorite part, where he goes, the Matrix is where you go to work, you pay your taxes, you go to church. And Michael's like, that's the worst way to describe what's happening. Just say it's a simulated reality.
Right. The back of the box VHS description actually gets right to it.
It gets right to it. And he's like, you know, it's real life. Let me explain your real life for like some fun in some fun prose.
You just read the VHS and you'd be like, okay, mega kick action. I get it. All right. Interesting. Morpheus presents two pills. You may not remember this part. Red and blue. If Neo selects the blue pill, he'll wake up again at home and remember nothing.
Do you like the visual? Do you think it's cool? I still thought it was really cool.
Absolutely. What a
great...
Even
if total internet dorks have really taken up that, it still looks really great.
Yeah. I mean, men die a lot in war. If Neo selects a blue pill, he'll wait. I already read that part. If he selects a red pill, Morpheus will allow him to see the truth. Neo takes the red pill, wakes up naked and hairless in a vat of jelly, and gets picked up by a ship. Now we're in the real world, baby!
He recovers, which is quite a journey. Eventually, here's how the Matrix came to be, is we learn that AI grew too much, fought humans, and humans are like, okay, so they use solar energy. So what if we block out the sun? Well, AI decides, now humans, they have energy, and we're going to harvest it. So they put humans in the Matrix, or the simulated reality we think is normal, 1999.
None of this is, if you're listening, none of this is important.
No.
No.
I like the part where Morpheus goes, humans are just this, and he holds up a battery, and I'm like,
oh,
okay.
Oh, battery, good visual.
Because I remember when our dad came in, and he's like, what's happening? And I'm like, humans are like batteries, and that's what computers are living off. He's like, oh, okay. That's actually...
Neat.
Also, there's a prophecy of a man, a one of sorts, who can bend and break the rules of the Matrix better than anyone, and he will save the human race. Morpheus believes that is Neo.
Next, we get some wicked cool scenes. They upload knowledge into Neo's brain, so now he knows kung fu and stuff. Morpheus trains him to fight, leap off tall buildings, and speak in parables. By the way, no one has ever fought an agent and lived. That's important.
Now, onto the character of Cypher.
Who is played by Ralph from The Sopranos.
Yes. He is not loving the real world so much and decides to make a deal with the agents. He will deliver Morpheus so they can get all the codes to the human stuff and destroy the human city of Zion. In return, he gets to be important, rich, and eat steaks while forgetting about this whole Matrix thing.
So, yeah, we're about an hour into the film.
Yeah. By the way, I totally empathize with Ralph's character.
Absolutely.
Except that he was a little too creepy. But
everyone should have. Like, oh yeah, I just want to eat steaks and live in a fantasy world. Why not?
Like, what's even the point of being human? It feels like you still get to live.
See, we're mocking the film for being pretentious, but it's still fun to think about.
Because if you're in the similar reality, you're still living the human experience in a pretty full way. You know? So who gives a fuck? Right?
Actually, you know what? I decree we're not giving enough credit to this film, philosophy-wise.
I'm going to blue pill the shit out of this.
No, it's a fun to think about.
It is fun.
And that's why I think you can get so invested into the characters, because this premise is so interesting. except for this part. Then we go see the Oracle, who is the nice old lady who says Neo is not the one. There is no spoon.
That's, oh my God. My favorite part is when they go, or watching this with Michael, is they go to the door and Morpheus says for the second time, I can only lead you to the door. You must walk through it. And then he points at the door to the apartment and Michael goes, oh, so literally.
It was not figurative.
Anyway.
Okay. Oh, actually, this is my favorite part. So the Oracle tells him he will have to make a choice between his own life and Morpheus's life. And she said this. She says, you have to make a choice between your life and Morpheus's life. You might have to sacrifice yourself for him. One of you will live and one of you will die. It's like, I get it. actually, once was enough to describe it.
You didn't like when they were in the waiting room and the kid is bending the spoon and he gives it to Neo and he's like, you just have to remember you're not bending the spoon because there is no spoon.
Yeah, I was doing that part earlier.
It's so creepy. I feel like we needed to flesh it out.
We gotta expand on it. Declare it's creepy. Flirtium films approved creepiness. Then Neo sees some black cat twice. Deja vu! Means the Matrix has changed. Means there's a glitch in the Matrix.
Oh, sorry. No, Jesus. They also said like something has been deliberately changed. It's not just a glitch.
It's a glitch. I mean, they say at the tagline.
They say the word glitch, but then they also say something has been changed deliberately.
If they sold the book Deja Vu, the subtitle would be A Glitch in the Matrix.
Oh.
That's the it's the official title.
I don't know why. I just love the way he acts it because he's like, oh, it's so weird. When you saw a black cat twice, everyone's like freaking the fuck out. Like, you saw this, what? You saw the same black cat twice? How dare you? What?
That's like a big deal here.
It's a big deal. Shut up, Keanu. Stop being cavalier about the adorable cat.
All right. Morpheus lets himself be captured by agents. Cypher gets out and shoots our boys. We're driving the ship.
Is what?
Tank and Dozer. A lot of good tension in this scene because, like, they're superheroes who could kill anybody, but it's been very established that they are not, I mean, that Cypher can't just easily kill them and then does. So right. I mean, in the scene, I'm like, fuck, he just can't do it.
And Cypher's so creepy.
And he's really fucking pulls it off. He's a good actor.
He's very good.
Cypher is super creepy. Kills our unimportant characters. Yeah, it goes down the list of who is most expendable.
Yeah, correct.
Thankfully. kills our most unimportant characters while monologuing, then gets shot by a not-so-dead after all tank.
Yeah, that part, because he's like doing this super creepy monologue and he's like, oh, so you're in love with him? Well, why don't we wait for a sign if he's the one? Because I'm about to kill him and then shoot.
Great, great scene.
Gets shot.
Neo and Trinity survive.
Now we're on a rescue
Here's
mission.
The thing about this film. At this point, I'm like, wait. Oh, yeah. When Neo is giving his whole thing, he's like, I have to go. I have to save him. I was getting tangles. I was like, I'm excited.
Oh, get him!
I'm so excited for
get
this
boy!
Because this movie really built up well.
It
moves along fast,
yes,
too.
I like that. Now we're on a rescue mission. Neo and Trinity get a bunch of weapons.
Guns, lots. It just gets so stupid.
Oh, while Morpheus is being interrogated. But they're really like breaking into his brain. And Hugo Weaving is acting his ass off interrogating him. Which, by the way, in the film, they're like, oh, they're just inserting him with this chemical and eventually they'll just get the truth out of him. So why does Hugo Weaving have to do this whole like, I'm your buddy interrogation
because
human
it's
smell?
So fun.
It's so good. But it seems totally unnecessary. It feels like they're just playing a waiting game.
I don't think it's that deep, but I actually really like when he's like, we made the first Matrix of Paradise, but that didn't work.
So can
we
you had do to, it in the voice, please?
No, I can't do it. Made the first Matrix of Paradise. The best I can do. I don't know if
that was good.
I don't think it sounds anything like it.
But the humans, they couldn't comprehend.
That's pretty good.
Anyway,
where are we?
So they go shoot up a bunch of people, which we haven't talked about the philosophy of when they shoot people in the Matrix, those people die and they are innocent people, but they're like, but that's, we're just in it. If you're not awake, then you're the enemy. And it's
great,
like,
or good, man.
That doesn't.
Great or good.
They're just killing people who are just living their lives. Anyway.
Great or what?
Good. So they commandeer a helicopter and they rescue Morpheus. Morpheus and Trinity get out, but Neo stays behind and takes out Agent Smith. This whole time, A bad guy is attacking their ship in the real world, and they can get away, but only if they discharge an EMP, but they can't do that while Neo is the Matrix, which good. Is perfect I, tension.
Great plot point.
A really good tension building. Because, like, Neo has to defeat him so they can get him out in time so they can get the whatevers, the Sentinels, I guess they call them.
I guess that's why I'm okay with the Oracle, because it's not like the Oracle was, like, mounted on this very tense scene. Like an EMP, I understand exactly why that would be that they can't do it right.
An electromagnetic pulse.
Thank you, Colleen.
You're welcome.
I just think that plot makes very sense. It's very logical. And
it doesn't
feel
like you're that okay with the Oracle.
Oh, I mean, I'm not okay with it, but it doesn't wreck the movie at all, is what
right,
I mean to say.
For sure.
At one point, are we here?
Yep.
At one point, Smith empties his gun into Neo and he falls dead. Uh-oh. Trinity whispers her revelation into Neo's ear. The Oracle told her that she would fall in love with the dead man and that he would be the one.
Because that's her plot point, just to be clear.
To be the romantic interest?
Yep.
She kisses him. With this, Neo is resurrected. He goes full on the one, stopping bullets, being super fast, blowing up agents. Neo gets out in time. And then he and Trinity switch. I really just like felt it.
So good. Cause like, you know, it's going to happen.
But like, I think it's the filmmaking, it's the music. When he's just like standing in the hallway and they shoot him and he picks up the bullet, they all fall. It's just
and he's just like, oh, I guess that's happening.
It's just extremely well done.
I totally forgot. One of the parts that made me groan is one of the first scenes when, the clients come up to buy that stuff from Neo, and they go, "Hey man, you're my Jesus Christ, you're my personal savior." And I'm like, "Oh, I get it." Like, that was a pretty clumsy line.
The Matrix ended with
that's my turn.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, I'm being very aggressive.
No, it's fine.
The Matrix ends with Neo talking to someone on a payphone. He warns that he's going to expose the truth of what's really out there. And then, what does he do, Michael?
He flies into the sky!
Yes, he does! He flies away!
Remember Diane watched it? She was like, fuck yeah, he flew!
She
didn't really say that. Wouldn't that be something? Now we're going to call our brother John, who better be nice about this film, because it's a treat. It's such a treat. Call Brother John.
John Flaherty.
John, it finally happened. We're talking about The Matrix.
Aw, that's nice.
Please tell us what you think about The Matrix.
Right, so I have a unique experience, relatively unique experience with The Matrix. And it's kind of a pre-internet experience, really, which is kind of interesting when you consider the plot of The Matrix.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw it first in 2001, which was like a little over a year after it came out. And somehow I had missed it entirely.
That's very bizarre.
Anything about it. Yeah. And so I was at my friend's house, and he's like, "Hey, you want to watch a movie?" I'm like, "Sure, why not?" He's like, "Yeah, I just got The Matrix." I'm like, "What's that?" He's like, "Oh, I guess we're going to watch this right now." So I had no context at all. No previews, no inkling about what was going to happen in the movie.
That's magical.
John, you're lying. There's no way you were a high schooler in 2001 who didn't know anything about The Matrix.
It's funny enough, I am not lying at all.
That's crazy. That's awesome.
Yeah. I went in completely blind, and therefore I was blown away. Because that movie hits you so much harder when you don't know what's coming.
Oh, that, I'm jealous, man. That's so good.
Yeah, it was amazing. Like, literally, because, like, if you peel back and, like, try to blank out in your mind, because we watched it a few weeks ago, and I thought to myself, how did I see this when I first saw it? Like, they do actually hold it pretty close to the chest for the first 30, 40 minutes.
That's my point, is that there's really good buildup in the film.
My friend David said the same thing. Sorry, he said the same thing, where he was like, imagine watch this for the first time, especially in 1999. Whoa.
Yeah. It was so good.
So tell us what's good about it.
Well, so the effects are amazing. The story is genuinely great and is really well paced.
Yes.
Clearly the three of us like tightly edited and snappy movies, and that movie's got snap.
Unless you're the Godfather.
Good God, yes. Especially the last third, like once they go to the Oracle, like, things move, and they move fast, and they move awesome. Hugo Weaving is amazing.
That was my favorite part.
He's a gem.
He's a gem. That's the only word for it.
Yeah. Funny enough, I only really remember him from two movies. This and the other two Matrix. And V for Vendetta.
And Lord of the Rings.
Oh, yeah, Lord of the Rings. Yeah. 2.3 movies. Three. Yeah, he's just amazing.
He's a...
so good.
So good.
The one... I mean, if we really wanted to make a complaint about the movie, and we love him, great.
Are you going to diss Keanu Reeves? He's
really not a good actor.
I mean, they just wanted someone to look cool in sunglasses and that coat, and I think they got that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, honestly, Keanu's character was supposed to be reactive to everything because, I mean, you're with Hugo Weaving and Lawrence Fishburne as these massive characters, and you got the world and the story around you. Like, literally, you're supposed to be a piece of white toast that's reacting to everything. But, oh, man.
He was good enough.
White toast. He was good enough.
So,
that is right.
So
and
cute.
I mean, the kung fu, the wire kung fu, which was really cool. I mean, he pulled that off.
What do they call that, Sam?
Really,
they call it wire fu.
Yes, thank you.
There you go. Yeah, I do remember the bullet time being such a cool thing that then everyone wanted a parody.
Why does everyone know what bullet time is? This is the first time I've heard it.
It's a video game thing. They say bullet time video games.
Oh,
well,
thank you.
The bullet time concept of video games came from The Matrix.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah, they stole that just straight up. Max Payne, right?
Yes.
Yeah, there you go. I've been told the story is supposed to mimic Jesus. I've never really figured
with
out
the
that.
One.
There's a resurrection situation. I mean, sure.
Yeah, okay, I guess.
And savior of humanity, it's pretty there. I am.
The point I was building to is, like, you can see deeper meanings in the movie and, like, the philosophical implications. But I think you could take The Matrix as you want to take it. You could take it as an awesome action movie or an awesome sci-fi movie.
You can leave the Jesus at home.
Or you can take it as a deeper sci-fi or a deeper philosophical movie. And I appreciate a movie that, with the same offering, can let people have their own journey with it.
Okay.
That's very wise of you. What's your grade for this film, John?
I'm going to give it an A.
That's a great grade.
That's a really good grade. Why not an A plus?
Keanu could have been a little better. Yeah. Mm.
Okay. I see where we are.
And again, love Keanu. Love him.
Do you?
Doesn't sound like
do
you?
You
do.
Doesn't sound
like you do.
But let's be clear. If we're talking about putting this movie on the new AFI.
You gotta be fair. Gotta be fair.
Could have been a little better.
Yeah, fair enough. John, thank you so much for talking with us. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for letting me watch a good movie for a change.
Yes. All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, boy. I think Keanu was so good in this. I mean... Like, obviously he's not as good an actor as Hugo Weaving, but...
Yeah, I mean, like, he doesn't convey emotion very well, but I think, like, what do you need for him to do? You need him to be cool when he does the last scene, which he does.
And are we gonna ignore how hot he is? Or?
I don't think he's that hot, personally.
Whoa.
You need him to be cool when he does action, which he's good at. You need him to be confused, which he's good at. Yes. I mean, I feel like he does all the things you need to do.
I have a weird opinion that I think I'm more impressed by the practical effects of this movie than the special effects.
Oh, absolutely.
But the special effects are very good.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that it doesn't look ancient today.
Yeah. The only thing that really dates the movie, I think, is the aesthetic more than the practical effects.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
The aesthetics is very 1999. Like,
I do kind of love it, though, for that.
Right. I feel like I'm in a Hot Topic.
Like, yeah, but I want to be there when I'm watching the film.
Yeah,
which is such an accomplishment. What do you grade the film, Colleen?
I think I also graded an A because it's not perfect, but it is really good.
I might give it an A plus just because, like, I feel like if this doesn't get an A plus, what would get an A plus? Like, I feel like I gave the Titanic an A plus because it's just like it's just so good at what it is.
Oh my god, you've convinced me. I'm gonna do A plus too.
It's just like, if you're going to do a Matrix, you're not going to do better than the Matrix did.
That's such a good point.
So, that's my grade. Are you switching as well?
Yeah, I'm switching A+.
All right, we're A+. People, hey, who are we sponsored by?
I guess we don't have a sponsor this week.
I'm sponsored by Hot Topic, man. You get sunglasses. You get Rick and Morty shirts, I bet. Jack Skellington shirts.
Yes. You can get fake hair dye.
Oh.
Piss off the parents.
Just get real hair dye. What's wrong with why do you need fake?
Oh, no, because you put like...
it's
hair,
a streak?
It's like hair mascara, and then you can wash it off after one or two washes.
So you can
temporary hair dye.
Got it. And then you can go to your office like the next day. Then.
Exactly.
So it's you just like, it's just for one night out.
It's fun. I bet they have Disney shirts too.
And that does it for us. Flaherty on Films.
But let's do a little housekeeping. So we have this new AFI film. So we're going to work on how to
I already forget what our AFI stands for. Awesome Flaherty Institute?
Films. I don't know. Awesome Flaherty Institute. I love it. So this new AFI, we're going to have randomly generated lists that we'll just announce on this podcast. But instead of a random one, our next podcast is on Halloween.
Ooh. I'm so scared. Oh, no.
So we are going to pick one special. We're going to do Friday the 13th.
Oh, so excited.
So that's good. I mean, Michael and Sam are both veritable Friday the 13th experts. They've seen Jason in fucking space.
We have. And in case anyone's wondering, that is number 10. And we have watched all 11.
Oh, we've seen 10 because we've...
No, there's 12 11. Out. We've seen 11.
And not Freddy versus Jason, right?
And even though
it's
Friday...
crazy there's 12 and not 13.
Oh, 13.
We've all made the point.
13's coming. It has to be coming. Even though...
That wasn't an original take on by me?
Yeah, there's a rights issue, actually. Because that last one actually was pretty successful.
Yeah, it was like a remake and it had Jared Padalecki in it.
Oh my God.
But you know who's in this one coming up? Kevin Bacon in the original 1980.
Yeah, he dies.
Dude, spoiler! I haven't seen it. Why would you do that?
Because they all die.
Michael,
that's also a spoiler. What are you doing,
dude? That's what Jason does.
I don't know that.
Michael, what's your favorite one of the movies?
It has to be Jason X, man. The most Matrix of them all, I would say.
It takes place in the future. But it's so 90s, you can't even.
It's
anyway,
fucking amazing.
My favorite is the third one
We're going to have a whole podcast about this.
Yes.
I know, but I'm just excited.
So thank you so much for joining us. Please join our Facebook group if you haven't already. If you have some ideas of what should be on the AFI, please respond. And
does anyone recommend Five Goes West?
No, no one has.
Oh, interesting.
Why would someone do the second American Tale?
Is that the second one?
Yeah. The first is An American Tale.
Did anyone recommend that?
No.
Oh, fuck.
That's probably pretty good. And if you are on iTunes, please rate us 5 stars and nothing else. And thank you for joining us.
Are we house kept?
We are house kept.
And cut.